Now, please, turn this record over and listen to the other side.
It's a sickening outrage, sadistic, obscene. The Arts Council must be scrapped after this. So spoke a Tory MP in the British Parliament of a performance by TG at the ICA in October 1976. Don't let that worry you.
And now the truth which you have just heard.
After, while I saw you in the movie, you were very excited over a mask. You should have dismissed the comment while the military is on the idealized fascist. Are you for it? Or what are you for? I mean, it's not my, I don't know who I am, but some people, there are people who talk like that. Could you explain that? I'm supposed to take a
look. Well, the military, the clothes, is just a symbol of the way people actually are, what's really in the street. It's kind of a symbol of repression. And it's also a symbol of the people that you're fighting against have that efficiency and that image because it generates a feeling of power and intimidation. And I think that's the people we've got to be careful to. We've got to fight back. So as far as we're concerned, we have our own kind of efficient military operation against urban guerrillas or terrorists. And also, the irony is that if you wear camouflage or military clothes, although camouflage is supposed to disguise you in a city, it actually makes you stand out. So it's saying it's actually accepting the role of a target and of a victim.
Is it intended to?
You want? It is for me. Also, the other reason is that it's very, very well designed and very practical.
Yeah.
And it has lots of really good pockets. It's warm and it's dry. And it's comfortable too, which is another thing which is interesting, that the people at armies have the best designers for clothes. The best material.
Yeah,
the best architects, the best technicians. Yeah,
of course.
So, go and get the best. They have the money too.
Yeah,
but it's possible to get some of those good things that they have the best designers for and then use them for your own purposes. But just, I mean, to say things like that is just very simplistic when people say that.
Yeah,
every newspaper mentions violence, mentions rape, mentions burglary, mentions war. Every TV station does. People in the street discuss it. So does that mean that everybody in the world is saying they're in favour of it? Maybe it does. Maybe that's the problem.
Yeah, but they come up in this...
But I don't see why music or painting or writing should be exempt.
Yeah.
I don't understand why it's suddenly unacceptable for a group doing music to mention things when everybody else in the media does. You know, why is it not right for somebody who has a guitar to mention anxiety or violence and discuss it or just point it out and remind people?
Yeah.
I think it shows it's a good thing to do if it's still retains an element of surprise because people are not used to music actually telling them about the real world. They're used to it being an escape. It's like an opium. It's the opium of the masses now instead of gin, television. And young people basically want to be like their parents. They want to sit back and hear music and tap their feet and have a good time and get drunk and go away and nothing happened. Their parents do the same with TV.
But people will come up and say, well, this misunderstanding. But in most people, the majority, like movies say, encouraging this shit. They have this idea.
All they have to do is think about what would happen to us if there was a fascist government. Would we still be allowed to go around and do what we do? And it's obvious that we would not, and we'd probably be taking away shots, you know? There was only one fascist there last night, and that was the guy with the wine. Because to me, real fascism is when you don't have information. Right? We don't say that everybody who watches us should like it. We don't mind if half of them are bored and half of them hate it and 20 of them like it. But when one person decides to refuse to allow everybody else to hear what we have to say and do, that's true fascism, that's the thug, you know?
Yeah.
The violent thug. Just like in the 30s when they used to go break up places and smash them up and stop people finding things out. You know, that's the worst kind of censorship.
Yeah, yeah.
To not allow people to speak. And then to laugh and make it into a joke. Or pretend that it's some kind of left-wing politics. Or it's some act of freedom. It's only freedom for one against 400 or 500. That's not real freedom. He should just walk home. If he doesn't like it, he can walk home. If he wants the money back, he can have the money back. Nobody said, no, it doesn't sound opposed as guaranteed to be enjoyed.
Nobody got the money back.
It doesn't say you will definitely like this. It's just...
If you are in a film and it's shit, you can't get the money back.
Then you'll go home and tell your friends the next day you didn't like the film.
You will, but they can be more interesting. But it's always with such events they do it. Official concerts,
It's a form of egotistic jealousy too. He wants attention. To do something like that, he becomes the person with the power in the room. He has stopped everything. He has made these people quiet. Therefore, he's a big man, clever. And that's a kind of egotism too. Possibly a jealousy that he's not the person who the focus is on.
Yes, he is a musician.
Is he?
Yes,
there you are, you see.
Yes, that's what I told you.
Yeah, but you got to learn.
Some people think if you don't do things exactly the same as them, you're wrong. And if you do something that's not the same and it seems to be quite successful, they're very angry.
Yes, they are. It's very interesting, you know, there's a German group, I don't know.
Yeah, we saw them in Berlin. And one of the worst groups I've ever seen. I was so bored.
Yeah?
And they mimed everything. And it was just sort of German cabaret music, you know, with a bit of electronics. It really is German cabaret music and, it's Rumpel music. It's exactly the same structure. Very German. It's just kitsch. But with sort of intellectual games to make it seem important.
Ja, das stimmt, das hat viel drin.
What, the one about the postcards?
I don't know what, only read about it.
It's a long time ago. I was sending collage postcards, right? Mainly they were the Queen, with pictures from pin-up magazines, and not real heavy pornography, just like Playboy type pictures, and pictures from crime magazines. And I got, one day the police came round and...
Well, you did the postcards
yourself? They got some of these postcards and they've been saving them up from the sorting office, they've been keeping them. And they said, did I send them? And I didn't realise. I said, yeah. And then they prosecuted me. And the trial was basically just a phony trial. Totally illegal trial, but there was no way we had the power to stop it.
Yeah.
And they found me guilty and fined me the maximum they could fine me on for each postcard. Not just for the offence, but for each separate postcard.
See, at the time of his trial, they were trying at the time of his trial. They were trying to get something from the country put
as a, what we call a precedent in law. Right? In law, if they can show us being a land based, they won on that. Then they can use that always to get other people. So it was useful because they could set up a new law and they could also test me as an individual who they didn't like as well. So just to find out. And that's why we have to go to different parts of London to send our mail. Because they have, like, there's only one sorting office in our area. They know the people who write you regularly and they can recognise the
first thing.
Unless
you register.
While they were in, they opened up, smashed open our studio, and they spent all their time in our studio. Because a drug warrant can cover anything. But they didn't look for drugs, they were looking through letters. Then they took me to the police station, and they locked me in the police station. Well, first they took me to the house, and searched their house with no warrant. Then they took me to the police station, and locked me in the police station, and then in the afternoon they said, you can go, you've done nothing. And I said, I knew that this morning. And it was, again, it's illegal, but it costs in England, it costs a lot of money to try and do anything. And there's no point, because whatever information they want, they've already got anyway. And they just keep coming back, so. I'm always watching. I complained about it recently and I got a letter from the post office admitting they were still going through my mail and saying we're very sorry. They worded it very carefully though, so although they admit that they're illegally opening and stealing my mail, it's not quite worded so you can prosecute them.
You can?
No.
Hey, it's just very nice.
It's very carefully worded.
In England, but
they know I haven't got thousands of pounds to do it. If I had, I would. Just to be difficult, I would be, you know. Even if I lost, I would do it, just to be difficult. Because at least it would publicise the problem, because it's not just me. It's like recently they admitted that they were tapping phones in England.
And now it's been very quiet. For 2 days it was in the newspapers. The phones were being
tapped.
You too. They have a big building in London that does all of that. And now it's
out. It's for the phone. Before it was in the papers. And then about 2 weeks later there was a thing in the papers, so everyone thought, oh yeah, very appropriate. And then suddenly it disappeared. But we put a page in the new newsletter about phone tapping, yeah. So, in England, there is this myth amongst the people that England is different, you know, but they've actually proven that more phone tapping happens in England than Germany and America. You know, it's actually worse. And although the police are supposedly not armed, they had guns in London issued like 4 times a day last year, and there was no way there was 4 times. In other words, they're always carrying guns in the place, but they're technically not armed. And yet, you know, it's amazing, whenever anybody robs somewhere with a gun, it's always police. The policemen who arrive just happen to have guns and shoot them, you know,
arrest them.
And they always keep showing it on the television now. Whenever there's a siege or anything, they always show you the policemen all over this with guns to get people used to the idea that policemen, it's okay, you know, they need them. The policeman with guns and it's okay. So now people accept that there's always guns. And yet they still think of the police as not having guns. It's kind of schizophrenia. It's very good control. Because they boast that we don't have armed police, we don't need police with guns, and yet they also go, yes, but they need guns.
Yeah.
Yes,
yes.
They don't need to.
Oh.
It's much better. The police are not armed.
They get used to
the idea. But they don't have to say officially that we have armed police, because they are anyway. No.
Especially
impossible
to
recognise those in police or the
special
police group. There are a lot that don't wear any uniform.
I was interviewed by a kid who was like 17 and who had been just the kind of kid who you go up to and say, "This is 10 quid, what do you think about this?" But he was a detective. Yeah.
17 years old?
I think he was like 5 foot.
He was, didn't anybody realise? It's very subtle in England what's happening, but it's getting really bad. The control is getting really tight.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Because it doesn't get good. It's just in the public.
Yeah, it's all very secret and it's all kind of, don't worry, it's for your own good.
Yeah, yeah. Why is the same?
But over here it's kind of more blatant. You know? I mean, obviously there's the secret thing too. Mr. Ho? Well, it helped when we did the video, right? Because he already knew the studio and the technical language, so he couldn't go through that anymore. Yeah, we've recorded
a reading.
We were more interested in the original cut-up tape recorder experiments.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
Because in all the books he's always mentioning them. And people have been influenced by the concept, but nobody's ever heard it.
Mm.
So we finally persuaded him to allow us to go through his archive of tapes and find all the old tapes.
Well,
and listen to them.
Well,
they're in Kansas with James Brown. But he did find a box of cassette tapes in the bunker in the office that he gave to us too. Then we went to Kansas and listened to him about 30 hours or so, over and over again. What seemed like good examples of the different techniques he used in the cut-ups.
Mm-hmm.
And made an LP master tape from those. But we have had another 20, 22 hours on cassette of stuff. And it's going to be called Nothing Here Now But The Recordings.
Mm-hmm.
There's a section from the Beat Hotel in Paris where there's Burroughs and Geisen and Corso and Sinclair Bayliss from South Africa, and they're all talking and laughing about the bottom, isn't it? Suddenly Burroughs says he's going to do a cut-up and he's got this letter and you can hear him crumpling the paper and cutting it and he's singing a little rap magic mantra, and then he puts it together and reads it out and actually
inserts it.
Yeah. And then he reads out the letter. There's a cut-up. And then at the very end he says, "Huh, doesn't make much sense." But I mean, that's like about as raw and near the roots of the source as you can get. It's actually to hear the whole cut-up
made. Yeah.
I mean, it's to a period. And then there's other experiments from the early 60s when he went back to London.
Mm-hmm.
And was working with,
they work a lot.
With Ian Somerville.
Mm-hmm.
Then a text that he did as a lecture on the psychic voices of dead people on tape called Belongs to the Cucumbers.
Mm-hmm.
And he made a cut of which he doesn't even remember doing in about 1970. He recorded it to the talk and then he cut it up with actual phrases from the book, Dead People's Words, you know, him saying that. Mm-hmm. It's just all cut up with that. And then a piece we did with him in New York in August on the anniversary of Hiroshima.
Mm-hmm.
And we actually tried to get Dead People's Voices on
the
blog.
You just made the experiment of the...
In the bunker.
Did you work?
No.
Why did you sit and wait when you were really
well, no, apparently it does sometimes, even when you sit and wait. Basically, it was a cat's whisker radio receiver plugged into the input on a Nagra reel-to-reel tape recorder. And the record levels turned up full, and as much background noise as possible eliminated. And then you record for 1 minute, and then play back a loop of about 50 sounds like just static white noise. But sometimes you get voices too. And if you listen enough times, you can sometimes get something intelligible, not always.
Well, just how long do you record?
Just a minute at a time.
1 minute at a time?
Yeah.
And then?
Why
only noise?
Well, because it's just noise, and if you have a lot, you can't focus. And a minute is long enough for a sentence, and it's actually like a seance. You actually ask questions.
Mm-hmm.
Is there anybody there who wants to speak to us? And then maybe they'll say, they say, what's your name? Do you have a message? Do you think we should bother with this experiment? What coloured underwear are you wearing? Is my mother there? I'd like to do it. Dean Rowdive, R-A-U-D-I-V-E, called Breakthrough, Voices from the Dead. Came out in 1971. But also, with the original hardback, there's a record. And it has an introduction and a commentary, and then sections of the tape they got with phrases. We used some of it last... Well, I used some of it last night.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was German phrases that I picked.
If you don't know...
Because on the actual record, she says in English what it means. Can't remember that. Obscure. Mm. Some of them seem like meaningless phrases, some of them are very exact.
Mm.
But then Burroughs was interested in them just as words anyway. It didn't really matter what they meant. Some of the phrases are just nice.
Yeah, he described it in his essay.
Yeah.
In the cucumber.
That's right. So I'm going to send him a cassette of the record, because he's not heard the record.
Mm-hmm.
Experiments. Tape recorders.
Mm-hmm.
It's, some of it's funny. He sings songs on some of it as well. I've got a dog, his name is Bill, a real good dog was he. Blood and brains all over the floor.